This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. La Crosse's beer-making history stretches back to 1854, when Nicolai Brewery and the John Gund Brewing Company first opened shop. Since then, there have been more than 15 breweries established in the city, some more long-lasting and culturally significant than others. On today's show, we're talking about the impact of breweries on the region. My guests today are Randy Hughes. He's the brewmaster at City Brewery. Also, Joe Kachiever. He's the brewmaster at Pearl Street Brewery. Why is it that beer has played such an important role in La Crosse? Randy?
La Crosse was incorporated in 1848, I believe. So, and you mentioned 1854 is the first established brewery. That was the same time frame. And the immigrants came here from, of course, Europe and other areas, and probably never going to see their family, friends again. And they needed something when they came to this wild area to remind them of home. So one of the first things they did was they built breweries. So they had a little taste of home right here in the United States. And the reason La Crosse really was so popular was because of the Mississippi River and the river traffic. This was a rowdy town. This was a river town. A lot of lumber mills, lumber barons, sawmills, and lots of boat traffic, and a lot of thirsty lumbermen. And so there were a lot of breweries, bars, and bordellos in La Crosse in the mid to late 1800s.
And was most of the beer that was brewed, at least in the 1800s, maybe even early 1900s, did that stay within the region, or was that shipped off to maybe Minneapolis or Milwaukee, Chicago?
Brewing in the 1800s was much more of a localized thing. That's why La Crosse, for example, could support multiple breweries being entered at once, because they were often smaller, quite a bit smaller, and geographically their reach wasn't that far. Refrigeration was in its infancy at the late 1800s. Microbiology was still considered a myth by some scientists in the late 1800s. So people drank fresh beer or they drank old stale beer, but it didn't last long because they made it in smaller batches usually.
Randy, can you talk about how you first got involved in brewing? Because I understand you've been in the industry for quite a while.
I've been at the brewery since 1978. And, of course, back then it was the G. Heilman Brewing Company, one of the largest brewers in the United States. And it was a completely different scenario out there at that time than it is today. The number of brewers in the United States was down to just a handful, all more or less making kind of the same kind of beer. American lager beers. Light beers had just barely started, but hadn't had much of an impact at that time. It was really kind of boring out there. Then we had a big shakeout in the industry in the 1980s. The big guys got bigger. The middle tier, G. Heilman Brewing Company, Stroh, Pabst, kind of fell off. But the best and most interesting part of the 80s was the rise of the craft brewers, and it really has brought it back to pre-Prohibition days when you had small local breweries everywhere, and it's fun again.
So when you started working at the brewery, what job did you have, and how did you work your way up to becoming the brewmaster?
Actually, I was graduating from University of Wisconsin La Crosse in 1978. I had a degree in biology with a chem minor. Didn't know exactly what I was going to do, but I had a friend who worked at the brewery at the time, and she let me know about a quality assurance position, a lab position, that was opening up on nights, third shift. And I thought, well, I'd done a lot of undergrad work down on 3rd Street over the years, and I thought, well, the brewery wouldn't be too bad a place to work while I figured out what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And obviously, I haven't figured that out because I'm still there. So from there, I just kind of worked my way up the ranks and took brewing-specific courses and programs through the years, left the lab, got into brewing supervision, worked my way up through the G. Heilman Brewing Company organization, and in 1995 was promoted to brewmaster, and I've been there ever since. So it's kind of old school method, work your way up from the bottom.
And Joe, can you talk about your history with Pearl Street Brewery?
I also grew up in Wisconsin. I went to UW-Milwaukee and kicked around Milwaukee forever and finally headed west to go to Colorado. I had some family out there and just to kind of snowboard and hang out for a while when I was done going to college, still didn't really have any direction. Got a job at a brewery out there and was completely immersed in the craft beer world, which didn't exist too much in La Crosse or in Wisconsin in general at the time. It was just kind of an infancy in the Midwest, although West Coast and Colorado is kind of a hotbed for craft beers back in the as early as the 80s. You know, all of a sudden I found something that I was actually interested in and actually wanted to finish a book about, as opposed to a lot of things I took in college. But, you know, just started working at a brewery and kegging beer, bottling beer. I wanted to learn everything. At that point, I thought there was just no turning back. I never thought it was going to be a temporary job once I worked in it for a while and not afraid of hard work. And there's plenty of that to do in the brewing industry. And I was willing to work just a little bit harder than everyone else. And I was promoted a couple times. I started taking classes and courses in beer. I went to school briefly in Denver for beer studies. I think just time and on the job work and constant interest really kept propelling me towards, you know, what I would call a career now.
So what made you finally decide that you wanted to establish a brewery in La Crosse?
I don't know that I was ready to do that, but an opportunity presented itself, and I kind of looked at it as a one-time shot. I was working, I had worked at a couple breweries, and there was this one that I had done an internship for about 10 months, maybe a year before that, and I heard through the grapevine that they were going bankrupt. They were going out of business. So I called my previous boss, or, you know, that I had done the internship with, and I said, is it true? What's going on? And he said, sure enough, it was a bad situation. You know, they were going bankrupt. The bank was going to come in and reclaim all their equipment and take possession of their building and everything. So I asked them if I could make them an offer on their equipment, and I did, and they reluctantly accepted it because it was a very low-ball offer. In fact, I didn't have any money at all at the time, but when they accepted it, I got a hold of my dad in Milwaukee and said, hey, Dad, can I borrow some money? It was ended up being about $12,000, and I bought the brunt of their major brewing equipment, not every hose and every clamp, but you know, a lot of their tanks and equipment that they still had ownership of, that they actually had the legal right to sell if they wanted to, loaded it on a trailer, drove it to La Crosse, and just kind of planted roots here in La Crosse.
Randy, you come from a long line of brewmasters. I'm wondering if you can just kind of remind some people just sort of the history and that evolution from Heileman becoming City Brewery.
Started in the 80s when the beer industry kind of flattened out, and brewers to grow their volume, they had to take it from somebody else. The big three ended up to be the biggest winners, the big three being Anheuser-Busch, Miller, and Coors at the time. And the middle tier was G. Heilman Brewing Company, Stroh Brewery, and Pabst Breweries. And that's where the volume to grow the big three came from. Most of the volume from that middle tier, which accounted for probably 50 to 60 million barrels of beer a year between the three breweries, shifted almost 100% over to the top three. So the middle three struggled. We went through a series of buyouts, bankruptcies. We ended up in the hands of bankers and various other financial groups who didn't know anything about beer or selling beer or making beer. And by the mid-90s, after struggling, closing plants, we were purchased by Stroh Breweries. So it was good to be back in at least a brewing family again. But it was still very tough. It was the merger, you know, kind of the merger of two struggling middle-tier brewers. And while it was better, after 3 or 4 years, the Stroh family decided they had had enough and were going to get out of the brewing industry. They sold all of the brands, which were all of the G. Heilemann brewery brands plus the Stroh brands. You're literally talking dozens of brands. Most of them were sold to the Pabst Brewing Company, with a handful going to Miller Brewing Company. So here it was, 1999. We were had been the flagship brewery of the G. Heilemann Brewing Company, 5-million-barrel brewery, and had kind of risen to the top of the Stroh brewery hierarchy and were slated to do 4 million barrels in 1999 until they sold all the volume. So here we sat with a very nice, modern 5-million-barrel brewery and absolutely nothing to make. So the brewery closed down in July of 99. You just don't restart 5-million-barrel breweries. And most people started to go back to school or move on to other careers, maybe even other breweries. But there was a core of us at the brewery here who got together and decided that, if there was any chance of keeping this going, we needed to stick together, because the only way it was going to happen is if you had key individuals in every area just kind of hang together. So we stuck together, found some investors with the help of the City of La Crosse and the County of La Crosse, found some investors to restart the brewery. We started up with our own brands because we didn't have any. We couldn't call it the Heilemann Brewery. That name had been sold. We couldn't call it the Old Style Brewery, anything like that. So we went back to the original name of the brewery, which is still on the facade out on 3rd Street, the City Brewery of La Crosse. Launched our City Lager and Light, followed right behind by La Crosse Lager and Light. And they were very well received by the public and won some awards. Our investors kind of ran out of money by early 2000, but we'd made just enough of a spark, enough of a flare there to catch the attention of local investors by that time, who said, maybe these guys really can do it. By the end of 2000, or late 2000, we were going again under local ownership and starting to grow. So we started from that initial 20 to 30 people to today, probably back up to about 500 employees, plus or minus 50 for seasonality, which is, for La Crosse, is a good number, especially considering the reductions in manufacturing jobs in the area over that same time period. To be able to have 500 decent-paying jobs for people and their families in this area is quite an accomplishment. So we've made it work. It doesn't happen very often.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Today, we're talking about brewing in the La Crosse area. My guests are Randy Hughes, he's the brewmaster at City Brewery, and Joe Kachiever, he's the brewmaster at Pearl Street Brewery. Randy, you talked about how Heilemann's had to sell off its brand names and whatnot, and I understand that City Brewery, is it a contract brewery? Is that the correct terminology for it? And so if people see the products in the store, what exactly is it that you all are making so people can know, oh, this was actually brewed in La Crosse?
As I said, we started with our own products, but obviously we couldn't grow them fast enough to really make too much of an impact or even keep the lights on. It was through contract production that we've really been able to shine. Ironically, that came from that middle tier of brewers collapsing, and that opened up a niche for a fairly large brewer out there with capacity to produce for other products, including things that aren't beer, for basically all over the world. So today we're about 99% contract production. We'll probably produce just over 2 million barrels of beer in La Crosse. We're back to a corporation that includes two other breweries, one in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, the old Rolling Rock Brewery, and one in Memphis, Tennessee, that was an old, most recently a Coors plant. We've not only kind of retained the brewery in La Crosse, we've retained breweries in other parts of the country too, as well as their workers. Now we make everything from Mike's Hard Lemonade and all their different flavors Smirnoff Ice, Arizona Iced Tea. We're doing work for Boston Beer Company. We're making Sapporo, the number one Japanese beer for North America, and doing a lot of other smaller, much smaller contracts too. It's crazy. We're doing everything from high-powered malt liquors and American lagers and lights to ales and porters and wheat beers and flavored malt beverages and just about everything you can name. We probably have 150 different products that we produce now.
Wow. So is beer still the number one product being made at the City Brewery? Or?
That's a good question. Probably not. Well, as a category, no. It's probably about 25-30% of what we do collectively. The rest of it is flavored products of various sorts.
And Joe, at Pearl Street Brewery, the focus is more on craft beer. Can you sort of talk about the different products being made and the evolution of the different kind of beers that you've made over time?
You know, I was really into craft beers back when I was in my mid-20s and out in Colorado again. And so we started this brewery up, and La Crosse had kind of its toe in the water as far as people's palates and craft beer. Mainly, they didn't know what it was. There was, of course, a small percentage of people that did. They loved it. They wanted more of it. They were super excited that we were opening this little brewery in downtown La Crosse and that we would be producing craft beers. We started out in December of 1999, actually right around the time when City Brewery was getting up and running. In the last 150 years, there was this brief glimpse of time where there wasn't any brewery brewing beer in La Crosse, but it was for less than a year, you know. And coming to La Crosse was a no-brainer. Great water supply here in La Crosse, and you'll find that where old historical breweries have been built throughout the country, there's always a great water source. That was a big deciding factor in getting in there. La Crosse had a solid amount of people that were interested in craft beer, and it was a great place for us to get started. And it's a beer town, has been since before our grandparents were born, and keeping that tradition alive is huge, and I feel really proud to be in La Crosse. Getting back to the beer, we started out with our pale ale, which we still brew, and our DTB brown ale, which we also still brew, and a couple other brands, and just had a big party and opened up the doors, and we were down on 4th and Pearl, and basically produced beer for the bodega for the first several months to a year, and then started selling beer at other local places. Fazy's was one of our first customers, The Helm, Yesterday's Bar, just, you know, bars that were within the neighborhood. And from there, it just kind of it just continued rotating an endless array of beers that I was able to brew out of the basement down there at the old brewery. It was a lot of fun, but after 5 years or 6 years of that, it was time to move on or do something else. And of course, there's not, for me with my tiny little brewery and brewing operation, there wasn't a lot of money in it. I didn't make any money to, other than kind of go day to day. So there I was again with no money, trying to figure out what to do. 5 more years later, and then along came this cool old building that had been vacated from the former La Crosse Footwear building, which is where we moved in. So we found that building, and that was really the spark that got things going again. We ended up with some brewing equipment from my hometown, from another brewery that had been in the business for about 9 or 10 years, and they decided they didn't want to do that. And so this brewing equipment became available right around the same time this building became available, this giant factory building. And so that just seemed like too much of coincidence. So that kind of solidified the decision to, like, go forward with this. And somehow we put it together and made it work. And reopened about 2005 in the new location, which is the Rubber Mills that used to be called up until the 80s or so, right, Randy? Yeah. And then it was changed to La Crosse Footwear. And the story with that is a lot of people think they went out of business. They actually moved all their production overseas. The time was right in the mid-90s to do that. So a lot of companies, a lot of factories moved production overseas just for economic reasons, and so they can compete in the world with the globalization really becoming a prominent force in the market back in the 90s. Left this great big historical building, and that's a big part of La Crosse history too, is the La Crosse Footwear Building, and that business was around for 150 years too. So,
and even since the time that you all have moved into the La Crosse Footwear Building, you've seen some growth when it comes to jobs. You all are bottling your beer and seem to be distributing it more outside of La Crosse.
So at that point in time, around 2004 or 5, when we were just moving into that building, it was basically me and Tammy, and then our friends would help us out. I brewed all the beer, I kegged all the beer, and then we went around delivering it once a week. That was kind of the rotation. That's the point we were at that time. Since then, we have many employees. I think there's 8 full-timers and several part-time people that help out. We've gone from just distributing beer to a handful of La Crosse bars because of our limited capacity to distributing beer almost all over the state of Wisconsin. We're Madison. We're in the whole Fox River Valley area, Appleton, Oshkosh, up there to Green Bay. And then down the lakefront there, Sheboygan area. And just this year, we finally expanded into Milwaukee, which has been really exciting. There's a lot of people living over there and a ton of great bars that are always looking for the new craft beer, the next thing to come along. And so it's great to kind of just be rolling along at a fast pace. And I've got a really great crew that's dedicated, and I trust them all, and they all work really hard, and it's really exciting and really fast-paced. The years are starting to fly by.
One thing that's always been interesting to me when it comes to brewing towns, whether it's La Crosse, St. Louis, Milwaukee, is people seem to take a lot of pride in the beer that's made in that area. You know, there are people who are so proud of City Brewery, the history with Heilemann. There are people that are just so proud of Pearl Street Brewery. Why do you think it is? Why is it beer that people take so much pride in?
For this area of the country, around La Crosse, is that, beer has been a part of La Crosse since its inception. And with our brewery, just about everybody in this area has some tie to the brewery. Either they work there maybe during college, or they're dad, grandfather, uncle, great-grandfather worked at the brewery. We have, third-generation brewery workers there. And that was one thing when the brewery was going to close down in 99. It's, people in the area had, like so many areas, had thought, well, there's just no way the brewery will ever shut down. It's too big. And then when it was apparent that it was going to close, we were just flooded with people that had lived in the area their entire lives and had never actually gone on a brewery tour, and they wanted to get there before it was closed. And so when we restarted, it was like a new awakening for the public. It's like, yes, we can't take anything for granted. We've got to support everybody, and the support was just absolutely fantastic, and we could not have done any of this without the public support we got when we were first opening up, because that got our foot in the door and made it possible to get the idea into other people's heads that, hey, maybe this can work. It was kind of a crazy idea trying to restart a big operation like that, but with the support, it was great. And the local support for Joe and local brewers everywhere. It's so fun now, because wherever you go, you can drink a local beer.
When you think about the future of beer making and breweries in the La Crosse area, how do you envision it down the line? Do you think there is room to grow in this industry?
Yes, by all means. Even though craft beer makes a lot of headlines worldwide, really craft beer, true craft beer, only makes up a very small percentage of the beer sold in this country. We're talking, I don't quote me on this, but maybe 10% or less of the beer that's sold in the country. So, I think as people turn to craft beer and as it becomes more popular for the average beer drinker, I think there's plenty of room for more creativity, which is the part I really like about it. Being able to brew really unique beers and have people that are actually interested in drinking them too. Whereas in the 80s, it wasn't like that. It was more about brand loyalty and this is the beer I drink and this is the beer I will always drink. And now the name of the game is more variety. You know, just look around at the taverns. Two, three, maybe four taps was standard, even in the 90s. And now it's the average bar has many more taps than that, some of them 20, 30 taps even. So I think that there's room to grow in the beer industry as far as craft goes.
Joe Kachiever is the brewmaster at Pearl Street Brewery in La Crosse. Randy Hughes is the brewmaster at City Brewery. Today, we talked about the significance of breweries in La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Coming up next, we'll talk about efforts to grow hops, the ingredients that give beer its flavor in Wisconsin. Archives of this and other recent editions of Newsmakers, extended interviews, photos, and links to the breweries can be found on our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. Newsmakers is also on Facebook. Like us at WPR Newsmakers.